We turn now to Africa, where stories of hope have been in short supply. In a moment, we'll hear one such story about a fancy new school for poor girls in South Africa built by an American celebrity. First to Somalia, where last week's stunning political turnaround offers a bit of hope. With the help of Ethiopian troops, Somalia's internationally recognized interim government finally began functioning in the capital. Today, diplomats from the U.S., Europe, and Africa meet in Brussels to discuss how to keep that fragile government going. One possibility is to deploy an all-African peacekeeping force to replace the Ethiopian troops. NPR's Gwen Tompkins joins us now from the Somali capital, Mogadishu. Hello.
Hi, Renee.
Ethiopia has said its troops will only stay for a couple of weeks, but are they being accepted or already causing problems as invaders, if you will?
The answer, Renee, is both. There are some people here in Mogadishu who appear very pleased that the Ethiopian troops are around. Yesterday, the Interior Minister, Hossein Aidid, went so far as to say that he thinks that the border between Somalia and Ethiopia should be erased, that there should be one passport, that there should be free movement between the two places. Now, this is an idea that is anathema to the other half of Mogadishu, who are very deeply suspicious of Ethiopia's motives in Somalia and in Mogadishu. And the one thing that they have in common with Ethiopia's Prime Minister, Meles Zenawi, is that he wants his troops out of Somalia as quickly as possible also.
Now, there has been a report that some Ethiopian soldiers have been killed. What do you know about that?
Yes, this was in the town of Jilib, which is about 20 miles outside of Kismayo, which is the second largest seaport here in Somalia. There was an Islamist fighter, someone who was a remnant from the Islamic Courts Union, who made three attacks against Ethiopian troops. There have been deaths among the troops, but we don't know how many. That fighter was apparently killed himself on the third attempt.
And we're also getting reports that some of the Islamists who were driven from power, mostly because of these Ethiopian troops, are now in the south of the country trying to flee into neighboring Kenya. Are they being let in? Is Kenya now guarding its own border? What's happening?
Actually, this is Kenya's worst nightmare. First of all, they didn't want the war in large part because they didn't want throngs of Somali refugees crossing the border. And certainly, they didn't want terrorists to cross the border onto Kenyan land. The Kenyan military has been dispatched to the border. They're there to prevent people from crossing over, although we have heard reports that people have successfully crossed over into Kenya. And it will be very easy, I think, for former Islamist fighters who are Somali to melt into the population in northern Kenya, because northern Kenya has a very significant Somali refugee population and also a significant Kenyan Somali population.
Gwen, thanks very much.
Thank you, Renee.
NPR's Gwen Tompkins speaking from Mogadishu, the Somali capital.
And let's go next to South Africa, where one of the most powerful people in American entertainment wants to make a difference. Oprah Winfrey is investing some of her fortune in a country still recovering from apartheid, the old system of segregation. She is paying for a leadership academy for poor girls. Here's NPR Special Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Gold.
Young South Africans helping set the I feel good tone of the day. The ribbon cutting marking the opening of Oprah Winfrey's Leadership Academy for Girls, a $40 million school Winfrey spent the last 6 years creating.
This has been a long time coming. This is not just for me, some small idea. This is a supreme moment of destiny for me. I've been coming to this day my entire life.
Indeed, Winfrey took a page out of her own life's book as she created a school for girls like she once was.
Girls who were poor, who'd come from disadvantaged circumstances, but girls who had a light so bright that not even poverty, disease, and life circumstances could dim that light.
That light clearly shone bright enough for the 157th and 8th grade girls, some AIDS orphans, hand-picked by Winfrey out of a process that included some 3,000 applicants. And it opened up a world that few of them, or even Oprah, could have imagined.
I went to some of their homes. I've met with their teachers. I've met with their parents. I've met with them. I know them all by name. I know their stories because their story is my story. And what I do know for sure is that this school is going to change the trajectory of their lives.
A trajectory with a foundation in Winfrey's hands-on attention to detail on the 50-acre campus with 28 buildings and with state-of-the-art everything, including a library with a fireplace and a beauty parlor. 12-year-old Lizeka Cabagnani from the all-black and mostly poor Soweto township is one student who tells us what Winfrey School means to her.
It means that I've got an opportunity to go out there and change the world, change my world, change my family's world.
Another student, Bushley, says she has no surname, but she does have the ambition to lead.
I want to be a president.
A president?
Yes.
The president?
Yes.
Of this country?
Yes.
Why?
Because I believe that women can make a difference in life, and not in life, not in a country, but in the world too.
And 13-year-old Tando Dlomo says she gets her inspiration from Winfrey.
It makes us all feel happy to know that there's a person out there that knows life is not just about money, life is not just about the fame, but life is also about being a good person, being fair, knowing where you come from.
But Tandi says, thanks to the academy, she also knows where she's going.
I'm going straight to the future.
A future promising free high school fees and college anywhere in the world, all at Winfrey's expense. Some have criticized the school for being too elitist and luxurious, but former South African President Nelson Mandela was among those hailing it as a welcome gift to help overcome the apartheid legacy.
We shared our conviction with Opera that the gains of our democracy would be nullified if we did not properly educate our children and youth. She obviously recognized the potential in our youth.
Over the next few years, Winfrey plans to add grades up through 12, with some 450 students attending. And to keep an eye on things, she's building a house for herself on the grounds. Charlene Hundergalt, NPR News, Henley-on-Klip, South Africa.